What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Just the 90 minutes from wherever you are. Take it away, Lind.
Thanks, Adonal. All right, so some of the biggest names in rock and pop are joining forces to celebrate music legend Jimmy Buffett. Earlier today, they announced a new concert coming up on April 11th at the Hollywood Bowl. It's a one-night-only event titled Keep the Party Going, a tribute to Jimmy Buffett. The groups and solo acts include Paul McCartney, Brandi Carlile, The Eagles, Jon Bon Jovi, and more. And if you want to go to that, tickets go on sale this Friday at Ticketmaster.com. Also, other people that are going to be there of note, Sheryl Crow, Jackson Browne, and your favorite, Cappy, Pitbull.
Well, you know, I love Pitbull. Every day above ground is a good day, and I don't know if he'll say that at a Jimmy Buffett, you know, memorial kind of concert.
It's a 305.
Because he's at this point, he's dead, unfortunately. Rest in peace, Jimmy. I would go to that. What's the date on that concert? What's the date on that show?
Oh, it's April. Hold on. April 11th.
April 11th.
Uh-huh.
So that's the Thursday of the week of the national championship game. National championship game of college basketball is on Monday the 8th. That would be Thursday the 11th.
Yes. So Carlo just informed me that we're actually going to do this concert for one of our Ticket Thursdays coming up.
Okay. Nice. Hey, Carlo, I need like eight backstagers.
Eight field passes.
I need like eight backstagers.
This
bro.
Mother bleeper.
I need like
and parking
eight
too. Don't forget the parking.
And I need like VIP parking, please, bro.
Yeah. You're going to start showing up, rolling up to all these things with one of those, what do they call those, writers? Where, you know, in the green room, the artist gives people, like, here, this is what I need in my green room.
Yeah, right.
That's going to be you.
Well,
next.
Usually I have in my car, I have this placard. It's this big orange rectangular placard, and it says news media on it.
Oh, no.
You know? And it's not
wait,
even.
So you fake
yeah.
parking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy, man.
No, you don't.
It does.
I don't believe
it.
Where do you use it? Where do
you
use it?
When I park places, I put it up on my dash. And then if you really look carefully at it, it says, like, you know, issued number. And it's like 007. You know, it's like I totally made it up. I'm like, whatever. I'll just. And by the way, I've had it for like 20
where
years.
Where did you get the idea to do this?
A buddy of mine had this idea.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, yeah, let's do
face
that.
Right now.
Bright orange. It says news media. People come by. They say, oh, leave that alone. It's news media.
You're the worst, man.
Don't you think I'm
the
best?
Worst. You're the
don't
worst.
Look at it the other way.
You're the worst.
No, look at it the other way. Instead of thinking I'm the worst, think I'm the best.
God, you're the worst.
No, think
by
I'm
the way,
best.
I forgot to post the video to Uncle Luke, so now I deleted and retweeted and send it back to him with the video. So if you guys want to like it or repost it and tell Uncle Luke to reply to it, tell him you want your thoughts on Cappy.
Yeah.
Go to my Twitter. It's my last reply.
I'm trying something I've never done before.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to post it on TikTok. Because it's a dance video.
Oh, no, TikTok for sure you should post
it. It's a dance video.
Did you guys know that?
That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are.
What you also need to know, it was announced today, I think it was like Bloomberg or Business Insider, that Instagram surpassed TikTok as the most downloaded app in the world.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of crazy because...
Well, they basically, you know, did the TikTok
mm-hmm,
thing, too.
Mm-hmm,
the real stuff became basically TikTok.
Have you gotten on the TikTok bandwagon yet, George?
I've got an account, but I never am on it.
I never use it either. And then I keep hearing all these like politicians telling everybody that they're trying to ban TikTok.
Whatever. I don't know.
You know? And then I saw this interview with this I don't know, congressman, senator. I don't know who she was. And they're like, yeah, so why are you trying to ban TikTok? And she's like, well, it's not because people don't put on funny dance videos or it's not because it's not important to some people's businesses. It's just that and this is the way she said it, the People's Republic of China. It is what they are doing with the data. And I'm like, well, what are they doing with it?
Well, we know that all that stuff is super scary, but like, unfortunately, I don't think there's a whole lot we can do about it.
It's too late now, bro.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's like they let the toothpaste out of the tube.
All I know is this. The People's Republic of China now has my video from Venice Beach.
There you go.
Hey, do with it what you need to.
What hashtags did you use?
I didn't use any hashtags.
Hashtags.
Oh, you need hashtags.
Oh,
bro. If not,
that.
People aren't going to find it.
Can I edit it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can edit it.
What should my hashtags be?
Freak.
Twerk.
Freak, twerk, dance.
Someone's going to have to show me how to edit it because I've never really done this.
For you page.
Yeah. Right.
All right, DeAndre, I'm going to need your help.
Yeah, I got you.
Cap, right, you know that Mason is going to hire DeAndre to like help him manage his TikTok because Mason's like, hey, guys, it's me, Mason. I'm going to walk in the studio today to do my show. Just wanted to say hi. Hi, guys.
You know a lot about TikTok? Do you know how to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be posting videos here and there.
Okay.
So.
All right, I'm going to need your help.
I got pretty good engagement on
He was our social media. He's on the social media team still.
I'm going to need your help.
Got you.
Okay, thank you.
All
right, plastered now. All over Facebook, all over Twitter, Instagram, and now my TikTok.
There you go, Cappy.
What is my TikTok? I don't even know what my handle is.
Cappy, let me ask you this. Mm. What do you think of Mel Kiper saying Jaden Daniels is now the number two quarterback to the Washington Commanders? So Caleb, he's got Caleb 1, Jaden Daniels 2, and then Drake May after that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'm not surprised by it. The guy won the Heisman Trophy at LSU. He played at the highest level of college football there is, the SEC. I mean, listen, we all saw Caleb Williams. We saw every play, every throw, every game, every win, every loss, etc. Like I said, I didn't see Jaden Daniels. I didn't see every play. I don't have as much exposure to him as I did to Caleb, so I don't know what his warts might be. But I know this. The SEC, as great as the Pac-12 was in its final year, the SEC is the class of college football, you know, year in and year out. And so this kid won a Heisman Trophy under many of our radars in that conference. So, I mean, to me, just based on highlights alone, if you're going to say that Caleb Williams is a comp would be Patrick Mahomes, for me, Caleb Williams a comp would be Lamar Jackson.
Oh, you mean Jaden Daniels?
What did I say?
You called him Caleb Williams again.
I said Caleb Williams twice.
Twice, yeah.
That might be the cold brew. Yeah. Ah! See, the cold brew might actually be have my mouth working faster than my brain.
You want some pistachios?
Is that going to slow me down a little bit?
I don't know.
Bit?
They're good, though.
See, I'm just worried about my drive later tonight.
These are really good.
Because I'm going to pass out in the car.
I love these. The chili roasted ones?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, earlier you gave me some of those protein Doritos.
Quest tortilla chips.
Those things were good.
Yeah, they are good.
Nice and light and crispy.
Yeah. And they don't have like a bad aftertaste.
Here's my point.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels,
yes.
To me, the comp, what I've seen so far.
I don't love him as Lamar Jackson. That's just not my belief.
All I'm saying is...
I mean, he can run the ball, but...
Well, all I'm saying is that Caleb Williams,
yeah.
It's because of all the off-balance throws and the arm angles and all that, people say Mahomes. With Daniels, it's the running game that makes him, to me, look like Lamar Jackson. So, I don't know exactly what's going to happen yet. Here's what I do know. I'll tell you this right now.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday... Here at USC is the Caleb Williams workout.
Right, you and I are going to go.
And we are in the house.
Yeah, you and okay? I are going
to
go.
So you're talking to two scouts right here.
Right.
You're talking about two scouts, people who have the eyes of scouting. The eyes of scouting, okay? And we will go and we will come back with our own evaluation Wednesday of next week, March 20th, and we'll tell you what we think of Caleb. How about that?
We'll have our own four eyes.
That's right.
Two sets.
There's a bunch of like kids walking around in the studio. I wonder what they're here for.
I don't know. Everybody was wearing like a Syracuse jacket.
Maybe
you know?
They're from Syracuse.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they shouldn't want to be here if they're from Syracuse.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
So there's that. I think, I love Drake May. Now, I'm also biased. I did ACC games. I saw him play. Mm-hmm. Up close and personal. I saw Jaden Daniels only on TV.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him at Arizona State. I saw him at LSU. But I've only seen him on television. I know Herm loved him when Herm recruited him to Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
You know who else
was on that staff and recruited him?
Who?
Antonio Pierce.
Oh, there you go.
Antonio Pierce was the recruiting coordinator for Arizona State at the time. So when Antonio Pierce, now the coach of the Raiders, saw Jaden Daniels at the Combine, it was like one of those hug it out kind of moments. Like,
yeah.
I've known this kid since he's like 17 years old.
Right.
And for Jaden, it's like I've been watching this coach work his way up to now he's the head coach of the Raiders.
Do you think the Raiders will trade up to get a quarterback?
Oh, he's just going to ask that.
I don't think so.
They don't have enough ammunition.
I don't think so.
Is the problem.
I think the Raiders now look at Gardner Minshew and they say this.
Oh, maybe they take like a second or third round guy.
Yeah, but they look at Aiden O'Connell and they go, look, this guy played for us last year.
He's not bad.
As a mid-round rookie.
Yeah.
He was okay. He wasn't terrible. He wasn't embarrassing.
Yeah.
Nobody had like high expectations. He's not Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant, and he's not Kenny Pickett, the only guy who was drafted in the first round that year.
Right.
So I think that the Raiders look at Gardner Minshew and they go, hey, we got a real pro veteran quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a superstar? No. You know why?
Is Garoppolo still in the roster?
No, they cut him.
Oh.
Because
I just read the other day that they're not even going to be responsible for the rest of his contract because with his suspension, it voids the contract.
Oh, wow.
So they got off scot-free.
He got popped for something.
PEDs, right?
Yeah. And so...
Allegedly.
Right.
Banned substances.
Right. So they popped him for something which got, you know, they got rid of Garoppolo.
Like, what are the odds that happened, too? Like, that did not work out the way they wanted it to. And it's like, all of a sudden, during the offseason, he gets pop for a banned substance. That's a little bit of a conspiracy to me.
Kind of, but if you were,
do you think the Raiders like left like bad urine for him somewhere?
Well,
like,
I mean, you never know. I'm just saying, a lot of false positives show up on those tests.
Yeah,
you know?
Except you would hear from Garoppolo.
Yeah,
you would hear from Jimmy Garoppolo fighting that case.
Right, that's fair because they got rid of all his money. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
So there's that, Cappy. I am curious, to see how this all ends up with Justin Fields because I think that. You know, this poor kid, he's gotten, this is what I worry about with Caleb. The Chicago staff, like, I don't like Matt Eberflus, their head coach, defensive guy. They've got Shane Waldron now as the offensive coordinator. I didn't love Luke Getsy before him.
Shane Waldron.
But Waldron has never been an offensive coordinator before.
Right, I mean, he comes from Seattle, where he was on their offensive staff.
He was like the install guy.
Right.
Because Dave Canales, local kid from Carson, shout out to him, who is now the head coach in Carolina, was the real OC.
But if you are Caleb Williams and you get drafted by Chicago,
yeah,
and you go, Matt Eberflus is a no-name head coach who probably is going to get fired in a year anyway, and Shane Waldron is my offensive coordinator, and you're Caleb, and you go, who the hell is he?
Right.
Never heard of this guy before. And then you show up and you're like, wait, you've never been an offensive coordinator? You've never been a play caller? What? Why would I ever want to put my trust in you?
Yeah.
So,
but then you wonder if those rumors about Chicago were true because he sees the way that the staff looks.
I wouldn't put it past Caleb Williams.
I wouldn't want to be there.
Well, neither would I. So listen, if I were the Bears, here's what I'd be doing.
I would have fired everybody.
Well.
And started over.
Right. Or you keep Justin Fields. Because he's made progress over the course of these last couple of years. And then you say, we've got the number one overall pick. What else do we need so that we can go from being a 7-10 type team to actually being a playoff contender with what we've got?
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, if I were, and I know the McClaskey family, McClatchy? What, one of them. I think it's McClaskey. Mm. Owns the Bears. They've owned them forever, right? Yep. I would have just Matt Eberflus.
Terrible.
Like, what are we doing here?
No name whatsoever.
Like, give me the NFL. And look, I get it. Raheem Morris is a defensive guy, but Raheem Morris has been a head coach once in this league.
Once and once as an interim.
And by the way, way too young to have been a head coach. Even he talks about it, right? But he's now been in the Sean McVay tree system. He's their best friends, basically. For years now, right? Like, so he understands, hey, this is the modern NFL. This is where I got to go. Let's go get Kirk Cousins. We got all these weapons. I'll take care of the defense. These guys will handle the offense. He'll hire an offensive coordinator. They're good to go.
And the offensive coordinator that he hired came from the McVay system also because he brought him from the Rams.
Correct. So, and Cousins is familiar with the system because he ran it in Washington.
Right.
So, it's all the Mike Shanahan system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I think that Raheem is going to have success in Atlanta. But you got Matt Eberflus, and I'm like, what? Like, with a first-time offensive coordinator? Like, that's a recipe for disaster for Caleb.
So, again, if you're Caleb, you'd be like, I don't want to go to Chicago, but here's what's going to happen, Caleb. I know you're listening, because everybody
Cappy, you a freak, man.
That's right. You know that. But here's the thing. What will happen is Caleb will go to Chicago, presumably, and then a year into his career, they'll fire everybody and they'll go, okay, we got to start over. We need like a real head coach with a real offensive coordinator because we have a real quarterback. Unless Chicago goes, you know what? The reason we haven't traded anybody yet, we haven't moved Justin Fields is because we haven't worked Caleb Williams out yet. We haven't given him a physical. We haven't spent enough time with him. We haven't done our research yet. So if I were Chicago, I'll tell you right now, honestly, the number one reason that Chicago will move on from Justin Fields and go with Caleb Williams is fear.
Fear that he blows up and becomes Patrick Mahomes.
Fear that he becomes a great player and they're all ridiculed for not taking him and they'll never get another chance.
Yeah.
But really, I'd rather just stick with what I got in Justin Fields, who's on his way up with this coaching staff, and trade the number one overall pick and get a whole bunch of other stuff. Unless you feel that Caleb Williams is truly, truly a generational talent.
I believe he's a generational talent, but I don't think that there aren't things he needs to be coached out of. We talked about it last week. He tries for the home run too much. He needs to be able to check it down a little bit, take the easy stuff. And I mean, Shane Waldron may be a good enough coach to do that, but I don't know. Like, there's a lot of unknown there already with a franchise who, let's face it, has not done great with quarterbacks historically.
I would say this. If you had to put your money on Caleb Williams going to the Chicago Bears, and I'm putting this in quotes, but trusting – Caleb Williams walks through the door and goes, I trust this staff.
I wouldn't if I were him.
Right. Now, I mean, Lincoln Riley, that's one guy.
Right.
You know him.
Yeah.
You came with him.
Yeah.
You won a Heisman Trophy
even
with him.
Even in Washington. You got Kingsbury. You know him a
right,
little bit.
Right. These fools, I don't know these two guys.
Yeah.
I don't know this head coach and this offensive coordinator. So
Then in New England, we got your boy.
And I'm going to put my trust in you guys. In New England, if you're with my boy, Van Pelt, you go, hey, this was Aaron Rodgers' go-to guy.
Yeah.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers.
And that's his idol.
Right.
He loves Aaron.
Aaron Rodgers vouches for this guy.
Right.
I'll listen to what this guy had to say.
Right.
But these guys in Chicago.
Eberflus and Waldron.
Horrible.
I mean, it sounds like a good law firm, potentially, you know what I'm saying? But or accountant firm. Not necessarily like, an offensive coordinator head coach combo.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. All right, Cappy, coming up next.
We'll go do our own scouting.
We will.
Next Wednesday.
And I've got the cars ready to go to Terminal H for some of you out there.
I'm curious to know who.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
AD's big performance and what it means for the Lakers. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So happy birthday, Robin Thicke, but also sorry about the anniversary. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, Lindsay does. Do you know?
I don't know, no.
So
I have no idea.
On his birthday,
it's Robin Thicke's
birthday,
okay.
It's also the anniversary of when the Marvin Gaye estate won their lawsuit
against him?
Yep. For blurred lines.
Oh, my God.
Remember, wow. We talked about that on this show, and we played the mashups. Speak for themselves. He stole this song from Marvin Gaye. And the courts agreed.
So what? People steal songs all the time.
Yeah, but it's the same. There's parts.
There's got to be at least a little bit of a different beat. Remember there was the whole Vanilla Ice thing?
Ding, 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 ding.
Right.
And instead of it was
bing, 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 ba-ba-bom, bom.
Right.
So that was like the Queen had their version. I had my version.
Yes.
Even now, Lindsay, you were playing something earlier today. I don't know if this is coming up later in the show or not, but there's some sort of Beyonce controversy. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Her song that's the number one hit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we need to play this because this is the thing. We need to, I was telling DeAndre, look up
How about can we save this one for 5:45 before when we're doing radio chat?
Save that time.
That's a good tease. I want to know. I'm not even familiar with the story.
Yeah, save that junt.
Yeah. So, you're such an idiot.
What?
So, you're such a freak, Cappy.
I mean, I guess.
Cappy, you're a freak, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got another echo.
Say right now, my girlfriend Rachel, she was like, get out there, go do it. And then you hear her laughing.
And then she's trying to get you to run away.
Because enough was enough already, you know?
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to Venice this weekend and tip those guys.
No, you're not.
Yes,
stop
I am.
Lying.
No,
not,
you're
maybe not,
not
this weekend, but next time I go, I'm going to give them money.
Which is like 6 years
from
now.
Yeah, I know. You said you haven't been there in years.
I know, but I'm going to go back. I feel terrible.
Cappy, let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Do you know it was the last time a Laker player had 25-25 game, like 25 points and 25 rebounds?
I feel like I'm being set up with a trick question here, so I'm going to go with it has never happened
before. Oh, no, it has happened.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Shaquille O'Neal, 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
Okay.
Let's see. What year is this? Okay. Yeah. All right. 2004. Yeah. All right.
It's been about 20 years since Shaquille O'Neal did it. All right. Anthony Davis yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you the question, which one you think is more impressive?
Go ahead.
27 points, 25 rebounds, 7 steals, 5 assists, or 3 blocks?
For me, it's the rebounds.
The 25 rebounds.
Yeah, it's the boards. Because a lot of times, George, when I'm driving, I'll listen to the Laker radio broadcast with John and Michael.
Yeah.
And the other team will shoot, and they'll say, rebound, another shot, rebound, another shot. And I just find that I don't feel like the Lakers are a great rebounding team.
Outside of AD, probably no. But when they play bigger, they are, because Rui's out there too.
But I would just say this. I mean, the points, 27 points, I expect him to get 27 points.
Okay.
When you don't have two of your big men in the lineup, I expect him to get 27 points.
Yeah.
The seven steals, very, very impressive because it just kind of shows what sort of activity he's got going on with those long arms and hands and hand-eye coordination. Yeah,
to me, the steals is the most impressive.
It is impressive.
I mean, a guy hasn't had 20 points, 20 rebounds, and seven steals since Charles Barkley did it in 1987.
Wow. Wow. Again, you ask me, for me, it's rebounds.
Yeah. I go with the steals. Now, I asked AD that question in the postgame.
Okay.
I mean, it's the second question. Actually, it was the first question, right?
I just want you to know something. You know, listen, from now on, if you're going to be doing a game on ESPN...
It was a last-minute edition.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so last night...
By the way, just want to say, give props to George, because he always says yes whenever, like, something happens, and they're like, hey, we need someone to do this thing, and George is always like, yes, I will do it. So props to you, George.
Well, especially if the game is in L.A. I mean, yeah,
I don't have to go very far.
Right. I know, but still...
And I get the good parking.
Yeah, right, I'm sure.
I do. They hook me up. My guy Ben Mendoza, who does ops here at ESPN, always hooks me up with my guy at the lot right on the ramp.
Okay, well, shout out to Ben Mendoza, and shout out to Pepe, the guy in the lot. That's my guy. That's my parking guy up in Santa Anita.
Oh, nothing worse than the horse.
Not that Pepe. Different Pepe.
My Pepe up at Santa Anita.
Different Pepe.
So listen.
So I asked AD what?
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know you were doing the game last
night. Right, so you were watching Trudell.
So I was watching.
You were cheating on me.
Right. I was watching the Spectrum Sportsnet broadcast last night, right?
Uh-oh.
And after the game, Trudell is interviewing Austin Reeves.
I love when Billy Mack says, Jack in the Box.
Yeah. So Trudell had his kids there last night because they showed him and his kids on the screen. And so Trudell is doing an interview after the game with Austin Reeves. And I'm watching this interview. And behind him,
you see me.
I can see George is interviewing AD.
Did you flip or no?
Hey, look, there's Georgie.
I did flip, but
it was over.
Well, it was commercial.
Oh, because they don't run mics live. Yes. They run it after the game ends.
So I took a picture on my television screen last night.
Yeah.
Trudell interviewing Austin Reeves, and look in the background.
Right.
George's interviewing.
Yeah, that's right.
AD.
They do ours live. Well, most times they do ours live, and then Mike's is always after the broadcast.
Did you post it on your stories, Cap?
I posted it on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. So I asked AD which one he was most impressed with, and then I asked him about kind of the team. You know, like, hey, man, now's the time. Like, let's go. Are you guys, what's the key here for you guys to keep this thing going? So go ahead.
AD, a monster game for you. 27-25, 5 assists, 7 steals. What were you most proud of?
Defense. You know, obviously, this is a great team, number 2 in the West, and no matter who's playing for them, you know, they're a very good team. You know, as you see, Naz Reid playing well with Cat out, and you know, for us, trying to get back to our winning ways and doing it on the defensive end. You know, even though they had a good second quarter, we wanted to come out in the second half and set the tone defensively, which we did.
You guys are 6 games above 500 for the first time this season. You don't leave the state of California until March 26th. What are the keys for this team moving forward to continue to elevate?
Taking care of home court while we're here. Obviously, on Wednesday, we have Sac, which one that we let get away a couple games ago. So, you know, that's going to be a big game for us, knowing that we're chasing them in the standings. But just taking it one game at a time and taking care of our home court advantage.
Well, you know, he talked about defense. That was what he was most proud of when you asked him.
Yeah, rebounds part of defense.
Well,
he had 10 offensive rebounds.
Right, 15 of them were on the defensive end.
Yeah.
So, you know, listen, that stands to reason. Now, after the game, did you ask him about his birthday or not?
So I forgot that it was his birthday because it's today.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So today
you would have known. Yesterday you didn't know.
Right. Because right.
Yeah,
Lindsay always sends the birthdays.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But on the weekends, she doesn't send the birthdays.
Can you please send the birthdays?
No, it's not her fault.
No, because I said this morning.
No, what she does
is
Friday she'll send Saturday.
Uh-huh. And then Monday.
And then Monday she'll send Sunday. So it was the one gap, unfortunately.
Thank you for paying attention to those type of things, George.
Yeah, it's the one gap, unfortunately.
So I was looking for your email on Saturday.
I forgot it was his birthday, but I figured, I figured it's Oscars night. I figured he has to have like a favorite movie that he would watch on a night like tonight. Like nothing. Thank God he told me it was his birthday. Here.
Oscars night. Any favorite movie going into this thing or no?
Any movie?
Any movie you want to watch tonight on Oscars night?
No.
What are you going to do tonight then?
I don't know. My birthday's tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
We don't practice until Tuesday. So,
was that because of your birthday you're not practicing until Tuesday?
Yeah, for sure. But we had to get the win first, so celebrate tonight, you know, celebrate the win tonight, celebrate my birthday tomorrow, and then get ready for Sac on Tuesday.
AD, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
No practice today and birthday last night.
Yeah.
Boy, we're
that's
going
a cappy
out to the
move.
Club right
yeah.
there,
that's
boy.
That's a cappy move, we're taking your birthday off.
Right,
you
know right there, means. Boy.
The Cappy's club. Like, I need the day off. It's my
yeah.
birthday. I'm going to the club.
We're going to the club tonight.
Cappy takes Rachel's birthday off.
Yeah,
what are you
that's
trying
true.
To do?
He has to. He has to.
I mean,
that's
geez.
Different. That's a different deal.
Yeah, quick recovery by me, though, was because I was like, in my head, I'm like, thank God he said something. Because I didn't know.
You should have said something. You should have said, like, well, Lindsay didn't send me the email. My B.
Yeah, that's true.
That's funny, though, because I feel like they, like, I could be wrong, but I feel like LeBron especially is really into movies. He seems like the type of guy that would have, like, an Oscars party. LeBron does.
I don't know, but did you happen to see Anthony Davis's mom and dad after the game?
I did not, know.
So after the game, they've got AD's mom and dad, and they must have told everybody in the locker room, like, hey, don't dress like John Cena at the Oscars. Did you guys see John
yes.
Cena last night?
No.
You didn't see John Cena?
No.
Oh, he's
my
naked.
God, dude.
He's naked.
But naked. But naked. On the Oscar stage.
Nice.
Right?
And it was a funny bit, too.
And dude, he looks so good, ripped and lean, but doesn't look like all juiced out of his face. He kind of looks like he's just prepping for like a Magic Mike kind of a movie.
Right.
He doesn't look like he's getting ready to do like a bodybuilding competition. He's not all veined out like in his shoulders and stuff. Anyway, he comes out butt naked and he's holding the envelope in front of him. And he's like, I'd love to tell you who the winner is, but if I move the envelope, everybody's getting, you know, the full fruit
That's
salad.
Funny. That's
you know
funny.
What I'm saying?
And the whole fruit salad.
Right.
Fruit
salad. Yeah.
You know? Really inspected his body on that. You're like, you know exactly like
yeah,
that.
Not,
he,
not
oh,
veiny,
no
veins. Right, yeah.
I mean, he's ripped. I mean, he's,
you're very descriptive.
Trust me when I tell you, he's hot AF. So after the Laker game last night, Anthony Davis's mom, they must have told everybody in the locker room, yo, put on your clothes because AD's mom's coming in the locker room.
Right.
She comes busting in,
yeah.
right? And here comes dad. And dad is holding like a sheet cake.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And dad said something really funny, like we don't want to put as many candles on this thing. You can't even put that many candles on this thing. Like kind of giving him a hard time that
yeah.
AD's gotten old. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
You're going to burn this place down.
It was hilarious. So they showed up in the locker room with a really nice cake. It was wonderful. It was beautiful.
That's nice.
They
nice
didn't offer moment. It to George, though, because he forgot it was his birthday.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Like, no, it's well, my birthday.
Maybe we need to start sending emails out
right.
on Saturday.
Saturday
You're right.
emails, please. Saturday yeah. emails.
You know what? I could send out on Friday. I'll send out Saturday
and
Sunday.
Right.
And then on Monday, I'll do the same just so we don't miss anything.
Right. There you go. That
we'll
would
cover
be great.
All our
and then that way I wouldn't miss AD's birthday.
So I used to do that.
I mean, listen, the birthday thing has become my thing, right?
Yeah.
I got Joker and I got mm-hmm. AD, you
right.
know?
So. Yeah. Who's the next birthday?
I don't know. I got to figure that out.
What's the next game? Kings and
yeah.
Lakers?
Yeah. Let me look. I'll look if it's DeMontis Sabonis' birthday.
See if it's
De'Aaron
or Fox's birthday.
Yeah, or
De'Aaron
Fox.
See if it's
Fox.
Malik Monk's birthday.
Yeah. Cappy.
Yep.
So you sat there, and you know, you kind of started to do the thing.
What thing did I do?
About AD. Well, you know, no Gobert, no Carl
right.
Anthony
That's true.
Towns. He's supposed to take advantage. Of,
true.
He did.
Right.
But let me, listen, if you would have gone one step further.
Which, how far?
If you would have gone one step further.
And said what?
And you would have said something like, it's not a big deal that he got these numbers.
No, it's a very big deal.
Okay, because you were this close.
No, listen.
This close for me to warm up the car.
Listen to me.
Okay, and send you to Terminal H.
I'd have to go back.
And you know what, Dead Meow? You've been very quiet after AD had those 27 points, 25 rebounds, 7 assists, or excuse me, 5 assists, 7 steals, and 3 blocks.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look, but last week, was it against Sacramento where he only scored 14 points? And I think it was against Denver last
Sabonis,
week.
Sabonis, he struggled against,
points.
Yeah, against Jokic.
All I'm saying is...
Well, he's got Sabonis coming up tomorrow, or
but,
Wednesday.
But that was my point. So when you're playing against the Joker, it's 17 points. When you're playing against Sabonis, it's 14 points. Both games you lose. Okay, so now you're playing this game on this is yesterday, and you're like, look, neither of their two big guys are playing. He should have a monster scoring performance. Check. He should have a really good rebound.
He dominated
tonight.
Defensively.
But you see, the rebounds, that's why to me the rebounds are the more
yeah,
impressive
but the seven
number.
Steals, dude. He's
That's incredible.
I mean, that's insane.
It's also incredible. So the night that he had, it just kind of goes to show
he
you.
He almost got a 5x5. That like Wemby got the other day.
He
would have
like
been
two away, wasn't he?
Had he got two blocks away. Had he gotten the 5x5, he would have only been the third player in NBA history to have multiple 5x5s.
That actually sounds good from In-N-Out. You know what I mean? Like a 4x4. Can you throw in a 5x5?
I mean,
anybody
maybe.
Ever done a 5x5?
If AD does a 5x5, In-N-Out should give you a 5x5.
It's a great idea. I'll tell you this
That'll
right
never
now.
Happen.
If AD has a 5x5 at any point for the remainder of the season, I will attempt to eat an entire 5x5 here
okay.
in studio.
There you go.
But AD, I need you, bro.
He was two blocks away.
I need you, man.
All right.
You let him know that.
Yeah, we'll have Kate's deliver it. That's his account.
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
That's his partner.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, Cappy, award-winning radio Tinder is coming up next. We'll get to that. Stick around, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, yeah, Cops. Did it debut today?
What you want, what you gonna do? I mean, this is a banger on its own.
Yeah, debuted 1989. Cops.
Used to love watching Cops. That was like, I don't really know if it's credited as like the original reality.
It was one of them, yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Well, you know what it was, why you loved it? Because a lot of it originated in the state we grew up in.
Oh, dude.
The original first season or two was a lot of Florida.
Yeah.
Because a lot of crazy nonsense happens there.
Yeah. Broward County Sheriff Department. And I was like, man, I may know some of them dudes. It was just, it was wacky, dude.
Have you ever seen somebody that you know on Cops?
No, but I watched
because I thought
I might. Yeah, right, me too. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to run into somebody that I know.
Right, because literally the first couple seasons, it was so much Florida.
It's like Florida or Ohio.
Because, well, I mean,
right?
You know, I mean, everybody knows stupid, crazy bleep happens in Florida. You know what I mean?
So that's because stupid, crazy people move to Florida.
There's that too. And then you and I get out.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. The smart people get out.
Yeah. Shout out to Cops and Fox and this song.
This song
became like an iconic song,
it is.
Too. Yeah. So anyway, all right, let's go. Radio Tinder. Take it away, Linz.
Thanks, Adana. All right, so a lot of people weren't happy with the comments that LSU head coach Kim Mulkey gave following the Tigers on-court altercation with the Gamecocks of South Carolina on Sunday. Here is what she said, if anyone doesn't know.
No one wants to be a part of that. No one wants to see that ugliness. But I can tell you this, I wish she would have pushed Angel Reese. Don't push a kid that you 6'8", don't push somebody that little. That was uncalled for, in my opinion. Let those two girls that were jawing, let them go at it.
Okay. Go ahead, Linz. So, I want to know what the question is going to be for this.
Do you agree with what she said? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm swiping left. First of all, you can't start a sentence by saying, you know, nobody wants to see this. Nobody wants to see this ugliness. But then literally pivot and say, but I wish they would have done this to Angel Reese instead. You sound silly saying that, first of all. And honestly, you sound like you're instigating another potential problem the next time the teams play.
Well, I'm going to say this. I think I'm swiping right. I loved what she said, and here's why. So, look, Caitlin Clark this year made me interested in women's college basketball. So take a guy like me who's not a basketball first guy, I'm a football first guy, and I went to a WNBA game last year and I don't really have a lot of interest in going back. Caitlin Clark to me brought me into women's college basketball this year. Not a lot, but a little. Now, these girls brawling on the floor like dudes, like guys, because guys brawl on floor all the time. These girls brawling like they did, I was like, oh, I got to see more of this. And then, what's the big girl's name? Cardoza?
Yeah, the one that was ejected.
From South Carolina. She's like 6'8", that girl. Mm-hmm. Okay?
She's their leading scorer.
When she pushed that smaller girl from LSU down on the ground, and by the way, the girl from LSU, flop. Okay? That's a flop.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay? Trust me, I know flopping. That's a flop. Okay? When she flopped to the ground, did you see her brother jump out of the stands over the scorer's table like he wanted
Johnson's,
a piece?
Floyd Johnson's brother.
Johnson.
Like he wanted a piece of the big girl, right? And I love what the coach said because she's like, oh, you're picking on that little girl, huh? I wish you would have done that to Angel Reese because Angel Reese is like 6'5". Like, let's see it. So I liked what she said. I also like what the South Carolina coach said afterwards, because she was like super apologetic and like almost crying and like, this is not what we're about. This is program's about.
The South Carolina, they're a tough team. There's no question. But South Carolina and the women's game, to your point, Caitlin Clark has brought interest. This South Carolina team the last couple years, because they're on this incredible UConn-style run. Remember when UConn had Taurasi and Rebecca Lobo? And they had these crazy runs. Right. That's really what kind of started, you know, Lisa Leslie and Cheryl Swoops and them started kind of this thing, along with Cheryl Miller. But then the next generation, once the WNBA started, you started to see all the UConn girls and that regime take over. And they all started getting into the WNBA. Caitlin Clark has taken that mantle. Angel Reese from LSU has taken that mantle. Yep. South Carolina as the team has become the UConn, right? Mm-hmm. The Tennessee with Pat Summitt. They've become the team. Dude, they've gone back-to-back undefeated seasons.
Right, but it's taken things like Caitlin Clark and girls actually shoving and throwing girls around to make a sports fan like me go, this is all of a sudden very interesting to me.
Right, but what I will tell you is I think it's not just that. I think it's the combination of all the things, right? It's South Carolina being this dominant team, right? Even though they lost last year, and LSU ended up winning the championship in an upset situation. People didn't think they were going to win. But that's how Angel Reese became a star, and it's why I think Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark will be stars together when they get to the WNBA. However, South Carolina, this is why the coach took the tack that she took. Dude, their team is an all-time team. Back-to-back undefeated seasons, as I was mentioning, Cappy. This is only the third team in the history of the sport to do that. Mm-hmm. So, like, they deserve, like, some... I know you don't like giving flowers, but they deserve the flowers for being, like, one of these all-time teams. And she wants the focus to be on that, not the ugliness that just transpired.
My focus wasn't even on the ugliness that transpired. My focus was on, A, how big is that girl? Because she's 6'8". I didn't realize she was that tall, but she pushed somebody down who was so much smaller, so I didn't really know the size differential. She's 6'8". That girl, if she were a dude, I'd say he's a beast, but she's a girl, so I guess you don't really say that. I don't know. I mean, she's just a ball player to me. But the brother that jumps out of the stands and wants a piece of that, I'm like, hey, bro, this isn't like a 12-year-old AAU game on a Saturday afternoon. I mean, this is a freaking monster game between two huge programs. There's cops everywhere. There's scorers tables.
He got arrested.
Keep your ass up in the stands, dog.
Yeah, he got arrested. All right, one more, Linz.
Up in the stands, dog.
Yeah.
All right, so as you guys know, the Oscars were last night, and there's, you know, obviously never an Oscars without some type of controversy. So
other than John Cena being naked.
Exactly. Well, that was great.
That was awesome.
I was a big fan of that.
He's so hot.
He's so hot. Oh, man. He's no Sasha, though. Just kidding. All right. So Al Pacino was up on stage to announce the Best Picture. Normally, you know, when they go up on stage and they say, I'm here to present Best Picture, whatever, and they do here are the nominees, and then they do the little vignettes with all the nominees. But for some reason, that's not how things turned out when Al Pacino was presenting the Best Picture award. And so here's what he sounded like.
Only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will. Here it comes.
I love Al Pacino. This is so bad.
And Maria, I see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to win the biggest moment of the night.
So after this came out, everybody was giving him all kinds of crap, like, duh. Like,
he's old.
Yeah, doesn't he know how an award show
politics,
works?
They'd call him Sleepy Al Pacino.
Right. So then today he like came out with a statement and he was just like, actually, I was never supposed to announce the nominees because the producers told me that we were short on time and to go straight to the winner. So I don't know. This whole thing was very awkward and weird. What did you guys think of it?
I love Al Pacino. I'm a huge, huge Al Pacino fan. Mm-hmm. I love everything that he's ever done, from mobster movies to comedies. I mean,
I've seen him act in a play.
Really?
Yeah, in Pasadena.
Yeah? What was it?
You know? Pasadena Playhouse. He played Tennessee Williams.
Oh, wow.
God Looked Away, I believe was the name of the play, with Judith Light. Remember her?
Yeah.
From Who's the Boss?
Oh,
Angela!
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tony Danza.
I truly, truly love Al Pacino, but in my opinion... He's 83 years old. In my opinion, he screwed the whole thing
up. Okay, but time out. Remember, this man just had a baby. He has a newborn baby. If you can't announce... the Oscars Best Picture? What are you doing reproducing at this age?
Well, that's a fair question.
Well, maybe he's so tired from changing diapers and missing sleep.
It's fair.
You think that's the case? You think he doesn't have a nanny at his age?
Probably. Yeah, you're right, Cappy. That's a good excuse.
I mean, my God, he just sounded so bad.
He had to have been like drinking or something, right?
I don't mean to accuse him of anything, but something was off.
I think, look, the truth probably is somewhere in the middle, right? The reason he put out the statement is because the producers, he originally probably went out there with the intentions of doing it the right way.
Right, and they said
Probably tell him, hey, no, we're short on time. You know, you need to cut it out. And then he, in his mind, he screws it up.
You're right.
You know, you're dealing with an elderly person.
On the fly.
And you're telling them to change things on the fly.
Yeah, right.
100%. But you're just looking at him going, but it's Al Pacino.
No, it doesn't matter, bro.
You can handle it. But then you realize, but he's 83-year-old Al Pacino who has a little baby in the house.
Right.
He ain't sleeping.
Right.
So that old brother ain't sleeping.
I think it was probably a little bit of both.
Okay, so George, let's say that this was you, and that was the plan. You're going out on stage, you're presenting Best Picture, you're going to say, here are the nominees, then you're going to open the envelope. And then, as soon as you step up to the mic, you hear in your ear, no nominees, no intro, go right to the envelope, right to the envelope, right now, go. What would you do?
I would say, hey, the producers are telling me I need to go straight to the envelope, so here we go. The winner is Oppenheimer or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I would blame it on them on national television.
Yeah, or be like this, go, hey, so since we've all been here for the last 6 hours, how about we just go right to the winner? And then you open it up, but then my eyes tell me, and you're like, what?
That's what made it unsure.
Right, because you're like, is he blind or can he see?
That's what I was wondering, what is his eye saying? Right.
Get him some readers.
To your point, George,
give him yours.
Jimmy Kimmel did do that towards the end, I think it was a little bit before this, where he's like, hey, we got an extra minute and a half of time, so I'm going to do this. And that's when he read the tweet. But he totally blamed it on them and said, hey, they said we have an extra time and to stretch it out a little.
Jimmy Kimmel got ripped for his monologue. And I went back and watched the whole thing because I didn't see it when it was on. And I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great. I thought it was okay. He got ripped because of the whole interaction with Robert Downey Jr., where he was like, hey, this is the highest moment of your career. And then everybody's like, oh, but he was a drug addict, so maybe it wasn't the highest moment of his career because he was really wasted on drugs, you know? And then
he
Robert
meant
Downey
highest,
Jr.
like a double entendre, right?
Right. But then Robert Downey Jr. is like pointing at his nose, and Jimmy's like, what's that? Is that like a cocaine drug thing? Or is that? And then Robert Downey Jr. is like, all right, let's move on. And then Kimmel says something like, what's in your pocket? Is that an acceptance speech, or do you have a rectangular penis? And I was like, that's not even remotely funny.
And that was probably just a bad improv.
Rectangular penis?
Yeah. That's a drop.
Radio Tinder is presented by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small-batch premium sippy tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. Up your game and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala and our great friends at the Cartosians, Beto, and Heidi.
Yeah,
they put it together for you to have those beautiful bottles. And that Blanco Reposado Añejo and Extra Añejo.
You know, I actually requested on Friday night, I went to a buddy of mine.
You requested more bottles?
I requested Tequila Mandala because I was going to get some tequila. They didn't have any. And I said to the guy who came over, he was like, this tequila special? So I go, yo, you guys don't got no Mandala? They're like, no, we don't have it. I'm like, I will bring you a bottle so you can test it, so you can put it in your bar.
Yeah.
Because that's the way you spread the word.
Oh, I did the same thing. Yeah. When my mom was dealing with her situation, I was down there. I stayed on points one night at a schmancy hotel, and because it was a quick trip. So I went there and I went to their bar to have dinner, right? I just sat at the bar to have dinner, and I saw they had different tequilas and they didn't have Mandala. And I told the two bartenders, two ladies, I'm like, you don't have Mandala? I know it's in Florida. I saw it at Total Wine. And they're like, no, what is it? So I showed it to them, like, oh my God, hold on. And they're like, could you email that to me? So I emailed it to them, and they're like, we're going to tell our manager, this bottle's beautiful.
Right. So now is it wrong for me to go to the Cartosians and go, yo, I need more, because I spread it around.
Yeah.
You make the connection
I mean, as long as you actually give the bottle to the restaurant.
Because the thing is, I don't
know.
No,
he wants to be reimbursed for another bottle that he gave away.
Right, because then are you giving them a bottle to then get yourself another bottle?
Well, I don't
A two for one?
Yeah, the thing is that I don't ever drink at home. See, so I don't have any alcohol in my house. So I don't need it. What do you give me a look for?
Really?
Yeah, never.
I have a ton of alcohol in my house.
I never drink.
Even though I don't drink it, I have a ton always.
I don't have any alcohol in my house because I don't drink at home.
You come to my house, you can have a cocktail, you can have a nice bottle of wine, you can have whatever you want.
When you come to my house, I'm like, yo, you want a glass of water? I'm serious. I don't have any alcohol at all.
Now, did you grow up that way?
No.
I was going to say, did Charlie and...
No, my mom and dad had alcohol in the house.
Okay.
But I just never have any booze in the
house. Okay, we need to discuss this further on the other side. I do feel like this is a weird thing.
It is not that weird.
I want to say I have a funny story about alcohol
and the Beyonce deal.
All right, yeah, we get to Beyonce too. So stick around, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Is this the Beyonce country song?
Yes, it is.
So what's the problem?
Well, I'm not sure we're going to hear the problem, but I'm not really sure I hear it.
You're not so sure you hear what? The one that I told you about?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to dump that one.
No, you don't have to dump that.
Yes, we do.
Why? I was at Best Friends Pet Adoption this past weekend.
Bestfriends.org. Come on, Cappy. Come on.
You can't say the B word?
All right, so I just sent it to DeAndre. So the controversy here is that there's a popular children's show theme song that sounds just like that. Have you guys ever heard, remember the show Franklin?
I know the show Franklin.
I don't.
My kids watch Franklin.
My kids watch it.
That one's a little.
Let's go Franklin. He's a weirdo. Hey, Franklin. That guy?
Yes, that guy. He's not a guy. He's a turtle, but you know.
Oh.
Anyway, people have been like going, this has been like a huge thing on TikTok. It's a big conspiracy, whatever. And some lady even said like, hey, Alexa, play the Franklin theme song. And then it plays Beyonce's song, which is crazy. Like, how does it know that? So there's this guy on TikTok who did a quick little snippet of Franklin, then a quick little snippet of Beyonce, and then he mixes them together. It's like 30 seconds.
So the first one is Beyonce, and the second one is the music of Franklin?
That's the remix. Like, he mixed them together. If you start it over, you can hear Franklin.
I think you need to hear
the
Franklin song, though. Okay. You need to hear the Franklin song.
Yeah, I don't know the Franklin song.
Let's go, Franklin! Yeah.
I mean, it's close, but it's not that close.
It's pretty close.
No, I can hear a pretty decent difference to me.
Hey, it's Franklin.
This isn't Robin Thicke and Marvin Gaye or Vanilla Ice and Queen. Like, that's to me, that's not the same thing.
Hey, it's Franklin.
But listen to them together.
No, I mean, that's fine. If you mix them down together, of course it can sound similar, but there are different beats to the way it sounds, I think. I don't believe they sound that close.
Franklin's a little slower, you know?
It is, a tiny bit slower, yes.
But,
right.
Really? So Beyonce you think Beyonce's sitting there one day at home, and then here comes,
that's not how this works.
Oh. Hey, coming
that's
down
not how
to
basketball.
Play.
Usually,
that's not how music
usually
works.
Some producer comes to you with
it
a
says,
beat.
Here's a beat,
but I'm thinking Beyonce's sitting at home one day going,
watching Franklin?
Oh, I really like this Franklin song. Yeah. And you know what? I think I want to do a country music song. Hey, it's Franklin, coming over to play, yay. You know? And then Beyonce's like, hey, it's Texas. This ain't no hold'em. Ooh, I like this. This Franklin's got a strong beat.
This is the number one song in the country right now, too.
It is? Really?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised, too, because I was like, hey, I never look at what today's number one hit is, so I decided to look it up today, and that's it.
I didn't know that.
You did not know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I don't believe they sound that close. I mean, a little bit, maybe, but not like, because we just talked about today, the anniversary of Blurred Lines and the Marvin Gaye estate on his birthday. Terrible anniversary to celebrate on your birthday. Losing $7.5 million.
You'll never have a good birthday again.
Yeah, I mean, you always think about, damn, remember those $7.5 million I lost?
Yeah, right. What is Robin Thicke doing now? He got any money left?
I'm sure he does.
Really? You think
yeah,
so?
Yeah, he was pretty successful, especially like
I mean, that
UK.
Stretch of time, he was like making...
I only know like one song.
A bazillion dollars. Well,
really?
You're not necessarily the judge of this.
What are you talking about? I know that song, that Blurred Line song. I love that song.
And you knew Franklin.
I know, and I do.
How did
I
you know Franklin?
Hey,
of all
it's
his
Franklin.
Songs,
you know. I don't know. Robin Thicke's going to do a
Every
remake.
Once in a while, you surprise us.
Yeah, well, because I watched Franklin. As a, you know, my kids watched Franklin. Yeah.
So anyway, Cappy, coming up next, Austin Reeves... is going to say something or said something about the Lakers that's going to surprise you, I believe.
Have anything to do with Franklin?
It's not about Franklin.
Okay, all right. I always like when I get George to choke on
He's going to be in Howard Stern.
But first, if you're a motorcyclist, you love the freedom of beating traffic and splitting lanes, making the rest of us jealous. Just like Franklin. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know if Franklin had a motorcycle or not. But you'll be home faster than we will, which is usually what annoys us. But there, of course, is huge risks when riding a motorcycle. Yep. All it takes is one person to be distracted and not see you, and then boom. You know what I mean? Unfortunately. So if you get into a motorcycle accident, usually more serious than regular auto accidents, you got to call Jacob right after the accident. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. My guy Jacob has more than 25 years of experience helping motorcyclists. He knows your rights. He can help you get the medical care that you deserve without having to wait a second, okay? So if you or a friend or a loved one have been injured in a motorcycle accident, call Jacob at 844-24-JACOB, 844-24-JACOB. Let him help you get back on the bike, right? Be the king of the road again. So guys, get into an accident of any kind, but especially if you're a motorcycle rider, call them. 844-24-JACOB. Call Jacob at 844-24-JACOB. A lot of attorneys say they'll fight for you. You call Jacob, he'll win for you. Call him at 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. Or visit him online at calljacob.com.